Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go.
And this is Life Conversations on the Edge. I'm Joel Martin.
And I'm Margaret Wentz.
And our guest today is from Israel, Mickey Jacobs, who is now in the United States, was born and raised in Israel. She is a medium, works with energy healing, and very much in the model of Edgar Cayce. She actually works with archangels and guides, which may surprise some people because her background is fairly traditional Jewish, conservative Jewish, if you will, and yet she works with something that is usually associated with Catholicism, Mickey, yes?
Yes.
You don't have any problem with that?
I don't, actually. I don't. Now I don't. Of course, it took me many years to switch from the religion to more spirituality and, of course, to what I do. But I have the support of my family now, but it took some time and work.
You have the support of your family in Israel.
Support of my family in Israel, yeah.
See, that's what I call bringing it together.
Yeah, really.
Really, bringing East and West together. I mean, everybody wants to be Jewish or Catholic or Democrat or Republican. I mean, you, the fact that they accept you as a spiritual teacher and you accept them, their religion. Because Mickey and I had a talk before the show, Julie, and she very much respects religion but is very spiritual. Can you talk about that a bit, Mickey?
Certainly, yeah. Religion is something that the soul choose to belong to before, prior to entering every life. So we've all been in one life or another, Jewish or Christian or black, white, male, female. It's just something that we choose to belong to. So this is extremely important for me to tell people that in a certain life that help us grow in certain areas to belong to a certain religion. A lot of souls just prefer certain religion. They just like the culture, and then they just choose to belong to that religion in every life. But the thing about religions that did not kind of fulfill me is the many unanswered questions, and more so the a little bit the judgmental attitude, I think, that religions have, that you have to follow certain rules and follow certain people, and if no, and the most of all that I found a bit disrespectful for the Creator, that he's judgmental, which is a complete, absolute opposite, since it's the most powerful, merciful, beloved energy. So religion kind of pushed me, so to speak, towards spirituality. However, religion is lovely. I mean, the Jewish religion, for example, is a family-oriented and beautiful customs, and everyone get together. So there are lovely things about religions. Of course, Sunday church is lovely, everyone together, and energy, I'm sure, is beautiful. But there are certain things that it's a bit of a separator, unfortunately, the way I look at it and the way the spirit world look at it. And so I teach people to take the good and leave the bad from religious. But I'm very happy to say that over the years, my parents are extremely supportive of me. And first, they didn't want to talk much. And then they slowly, year by year, they got more and more. And my dad is actually climbing up in his spirituality. So that's something that I believe it's a big achievement. So, yeah, spirituality.
What do you think, Julie?
What do I think?
I know your brain's going like crazy. I could hear it.
I've got so many thoughts. I couldn't even spill them all out. Mickey, I'm from a family of many, many generations of rabbis.
Oh, my God, Joe.
I
did not know that.
Now, this is interesting. We've traced them back to at least the 1700s and probably before. We stopped in the early 1700s. But a cousin of mine did the genealogy, checked the family tree, and it had a few branches. And the rabbis on my mother's side go back at least 300 years. So there's at least nine generations or more. All the way back to Lithuania, very conservative. My grandfather would say, you don't question religion, it's a matter of faith. if you believe in religion, then you just accept what it says. It's faith. You don't question. That's it. Period. Banned. Strangely enough, and here's where I had my problem, and perhaps you can explain why.
Sure.
I attend Catholic Church. For some reason, the first time I went to Catholic Church, it was because I was dating a girl who was Roman Catholic. But I went to Catholic Church. The first time I was sure I'd be struck by lightning.
Okay.
From the way I was raised, I figured God would come down, pick me up, throw me back on the ground, and then lightning would, you know, just devour me.
Keen aside, Jolie. That's what my grandmother told us.
No, I'm serious. No, that's really what I thought.
If we date a Jewish boy, because I'm Catholic, we were told, you know, we'd be going straight to hell.
Yeah, it's the same thing. No, I'm not kidding. I seriously thought I would be struck by lightning. No, it's not a joke.
It's very much the way
somebody who's Catholic was told they'd go to hell if they dated somebody who was Jewish.
Oh. Very serious, my grandmother was.
Believe me, my family too.
So I think it's lovely that we've come so far that he can be here, you know, from Israel and been in the army, come here and all of a sudden be spiritual, and then find Edgar Cayce as someone she wants to emulate.
Yeah, that fascinates me. Well, now this is the question. I mean, in my case, I found, for some reason, once I got over that fear and I did not get struck by lightning, I found I had a very strong affinity, a kind of a closeness or a desire to learn more about Catholicism. I don't know why, given the upbringing I had, when, you know, you're brought up with the Hebrew books and the Seder and the lighting candles every Friday night and all of the things that are, you know, customs that are very Jewish.
Yes.
But I felt so at home in the Catholic Church that when I saw the statues and I saw the different symbols, I was fascinated, and I am to this day.
Wow.
Now, why would something like that happen to you, that you would all of a sudden or somehow become a medium who works with the Archangel Michael, and I'm from generations of rabbis dating all the way back to Lithuania somewhere, and literally Vilnius, Lithuania, and I find all of a sudden that I'm fascinated by the spirituality of the church.
Yes. The one thing I would want to touch first is when you say that once the fear of the Creator, of God, went away, all of a sudden you felt relief. Well, that's the connection to the soul, because, of course, the soul knows the spiritual truth. It's just us coming here in a physical body and belong to certain religions in order to grow. So then once you start to relax about the Creator and kind of distance yourself, I mean, it's okay for us to be Jewish or Catholic or Christian. You can really respect the custom and everything. But a lot of time, people do not grow spiritually because they're too attached to it. There's too many rules. It's too harsh. But once you kind of let go and start opening up to spirituality, of course you open a channel to your soul, higher self, and then to the spirit world. So then the amnesia, how I call it, the spiritual amnesia when we come here, it's kind of loosened up a little bit, and memories still start coming in. Now, I belong to the Jewish. I came here to that family, to that religious, in order to grow. And my mediumship, funny enough, came later in life when I was 32. It's meant to by design, because I'm meant to first. Pardon?
Not that 32 is old, but it happened more as an adult than when you were a child?
And that's another thing I like to mention in my teaching, that you don't have to born with it. I mean, it's something that came when I was 32, because I meant to go through the religious first and learn what it is I meant to learn with all the experiences and be a better medium because of that, because now I'm able to talk about religion because I experience it. I think if I was born with it, I wouldn't quite know what I was saying as much. But now I know, so I'm able to point out to people what does that mean when I say take the good out of religions and leave the, don't even like to say bad, leave the not-so-truth, so because I've been there. So the fact that you got attracted to Catholicism it could be either just the soul likes a certain, when things like that happen without explanation, you just
yes.
got to do something, you just attracted to it. Either that or you design it in a certain time of your life to get some other lessons through that. So, of course, it's all by design.
Well, Catholics, you know, the Jesuits know a lot of the same secrets as the Kabbalah, and so maybe you weren't up for being a rabbi, and maybe it's just time to change, because I don't see much difference between the Kabbalah and the Jesuits and their information. And God help us if we opened up the Vatican, what we'd find in there.
Oh, God yeah. knows the secrets they must
yeah, and
be.
And maybe this time, yeah, maybe this time you wanted to come and, you know, find some stuff. But what's interesting is when I met Mickey, we have, she has the opinion that we have, Julie. She's not big on, and I am not big, and nor is Joel. I can speak for Joel. I know about this, on people using the word medium, and so loosely. Oh, I'm a medium. I can read this. I can do that, and charging a lot of dollars, and then taking their act to Las Vegas and all over the place. You're a real. I mean, right, Joel?
Oh yes. Oh God, yes.
And it's losing its on.
Authenticity because of
yes.
that. And so what we've been looking for, and we've been doing this now for 3 years, we're in our third year, we're looking for, we ask and you shall receive. We've been looking for people like you who are, you know, really spiritual and want to use this as a gift and not turn it into an act.
No, not a, of course. That's, you know, when I look at other sites, and I was telling Clayton, my husband, look at it. It's so much money. What if people cannot afford it and need help?
Many cannot.
This is just absurd. $200, $300, $400.
Oh,
just,
more than that sometimes.
Thousands,
yeah,
no.
That's absurd. It's got to stay humble, because I'm extremely blessed that they help. I mean, I'm transferring. Guides are wonderful beings that deserve respect. Those beings that incarnate as opposed to the archangel that were never humans, I have such great respect for our spirit guides, because imagine that they've been through all the lessons, all the thousands and thousands of lifetimes, and became guides. This is, to me, a great respect. So to transfer their message for me, it's a great honor. So I always would try and keep it humble and do my best. And so this is, I take my job very seriously. It's actually very sad to me that when I talk to radio show, they want to test me because other bad mediums out there. And I'm thinking, how this is probably the worst profession that you can be not authentic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And a doctor, maybe.
Yeah, yes.
So what you're saying is, if you want to use the word karma or sin or whatever
yeah.
whatever word
oh,
works
yeah.
you, it's the worst. It's probably about the worst thing you can do, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what would happen? What happens to those? I just out of care, because I've always wondered, and I whine to Joe, I go, what the heck is going to happen to these fools, you know, making all these, I mean, what?
Now, that's a good question.
God's merciful, and
yeah.
you say the spirit guides are merciful, and I believe you, but so what, do they just get a pass? They just get to be goofing around, playing with people's lives?
There is
lives?
Never a pass, Margaret, because the program, as I like to call it, that the Creator have design, having the physical world, in, it's kind of a school, really, is extremely fair and balanced. No one get a free pass.
So what happens?
It might look to us as some getting a free pass, but they do not. If they won't pay for their acts this life, they will for certain pay the next life. Their karma is a very set and fair program.
But
so
you know,
whoever...
Mickey, that...
Pardon?
That has been said to us a million times, especially
yeah.
to me. I've heard it because, you know, I ask more.
It's
so
hard
always,
to accept, isn't it?
It's so hard to accept.
Yes.
Because,
I know it
you know,
is.
It's like if God would just give me 10 minutes with him, my I would ask that there's a time limit to karma. Like, you know, 6 months.
Oh.
And then they get their karma, you know? Then because, I mean, I know they didn't get it next. I mean, intellectually, I hear next lifetime. But I'm
mm.
here right now, and I'm not
mm.
digging next lifetime. I'm wanting
mm.
to see them, you know, get it now. And
yeah.
that I'm probably going to have karma for wishing that. But I don't, you know,
yeah.
I don't occupy myself with it all the time. But when I see
yeah.
somebody just hurting someone for no reason and knowing
yeah.
they're doing it and they continue, I'm looking, thinking, why don't you stop that? And someone
yeah.
will say to me, oh,
yeah.
don't worry. think next lifetime karma. I'm like, next lifetime?
Yeah. And no, I don't believe that they only have next time. I believe that their life is very miserable. Despite what we might see from the outside, maybe they're powerful and have money. I believe that their life is really miserable. It's funny that my team, my archangel and guides, always tell me that they understand why it's hard for us human to accept that concept of karma. They also explain to me that karma have many levels. The cruelest you are, especially if you harm or take another life, of course, the harsher the karma would be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they tell me it would be so harsh that you would come the next life as the victim. For example, if someone would rape someone, the next life, the rapist would be the victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before, come and do unto others. It's just that, you know, it's still,
I know.
The reason many people right now in these times are turning away from spirituality, and it's because Joel writes books, we do documentaries, and the answer we get mostly is why they turn from, we talked about this the other day, remember, Joel?
Yeah.
They turn away from religion, they turn away from spirituality.
Yeah.
It's because they think they get away with it, I'm going to get away with it. Because people overuse the word karma, they overuse the word zen, and no one is seeing any repercussions except globally. We're all, suffering with financial, all these global things are happening, and we're thinking, wait a minute, we didn't do anything to deserve that. How come we're getting it with them? You see,
and
this isn't me talking. I'm talking for my collective people we interview, and when we interview people, that's what they usually say.
Yeah, no, I don't think karma should be said loosely at all. Actually, it took me years to accept that concept. And Archangel Michael kept explaining to me, and he actually said that it is not for us to judge, because, again, we see very little of the big picture. So when you see someone that's not nice and he appears to have everything, he does not, because it doesn't go like that. So it's very hard for us because, again, we have the five senses, which really give us nothing much. Everything else is just, in behind the scenes, so to speak. So all I can tell people is that direct from the spirit world, whoever harm other, big or small, will pay with the consequences. They will, honey. I know it's very hard concept to understand. They will. And and sometimes you see the good die young, and you say, why?
Oh, yeah.
That's almost as bad, really.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. How I have no way to rationalize or explain that. I don't understand.
You know, it's funny that a month ago there was a couple, actually near me here in San Diego, that they had a small plane, and they were going for charity for cancer patient, and they crashed.
Yes.
So I remember I was very upset in my morning meditation when I talked to my team, and I said, that is just nonsense. And I was really angry, and of course they're always loving, and they said, again, this is hard for me as hard for you as a human to accept. You don't know that couple evolution. You don't know if they needed to pay their own karmic debt from last life. You don't know if they came here to teach lesson by that. There's so many layers to it that, and if I wouldn't hear it from the spirits, if it would be another human being tell me that, I would tell him this is all nonsense. But obviously those are, wise souls, and they just very patiently tell me that it's all consequences.
Have they ever told you how it feels to die? Because Joel and I talk about that. In that crash, for example, Do some people feel it like, ugh, or do some people just die before it hits the plane? I mean, are there different ways to die in a crash?
Actually, Margaret, it's kind of sad because the example, what it is, before impact, the soul leaves the body, and unfortunately they chose to give me the example of September 11 when those people jumped from the buildings and their soul were out. So the soul know it's time coming within the last few seconds.
So they didn't have to feel that horrible pain.
They don't feel the pain. There is, and because I love animals so much, I always ask, unfortunately, for the animal that suffer, and they say every living being this is the merciful God, and no one suffered. They exit the physical body. Even they explained to me in a coma that the soul is in and out. It would come in and won't suffer the pain, and the soul would just drift out until it's crossed over. So, yeah, the soul does live, and I don't know why maybe seeing them jumping from the building really affected me, but they chose to explain their point through that. They said that the body just was a shell that unfortunately fell from the window.
Wow. Joy, I've been occupying most of the time. You do it. You've got stuff I know I can, you know.
Mickey, I'm interested in if we speak about spirituality and we speak about, you're really speaking about forgiveness.
Yes.
I guess when you talk about karma, that perhaps there's a reason or a way to forgive. If you use the example of 9/11,
yes.
Were you in the United States at the time?
Yes, I was.
How long have you been here?
Since 87.
Oh, you've been here a long time.
Yes, you would think I'll get rid of my accent.
No, I think you'd be. No, actually, I would have thought you'd have been sick of the United States, but that's
no,
not.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's another show. I'm sorry. all right? No, the accent is fine. You probably learned to speak English in Israel.
Yeah, the reason I have accent because I never took proper classes. That's what I've been told, not by the spirit world, by people. So it's kind of, that's why it's so thick like that. So, but I wish it would got softer over the years, I'll be honest with you. But
that's the least of the problems. I wish I could speak Hebrew as well as you speak English. I mean, I can't even speak English that well. But the 9/11 story is one that is really a good example.
Yes.
Here, supposedly, the religion, in this case, it was the Muslim religion.
Yes.
Motivated those terrorists to bomb the buildings, as well as in Washington and another plane that crashed in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
How are people supposed to be religious or spiritual here when they've lost loved ones here?
I
understand that eventually we'll be reunited, I guess you would say.
Sure.
But how do you resolve the terrible loss and the pain? And of course, Margaret knew people who were lost and here because I'm in New York, not far.
I had employees and my friend's children, yeah.
Sure, and here in New York, of course, we knew people who were who were lost in that terrible, terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you rationalize that? How do you explain that in the name of religion? I'm not asking you to defend religion, but here it is. Somebody flies a plane into a building because he's a religious nut.
In the name of God, in the name of Allah,
whatever. And then we're supposed to stay spiritual, and we've lost our husbands and wives and daughters and sons, etc.
Yeah. Actually, after it happened, Archangel Michael took a long time to talk to me about it, which I kind of documented because it was important. And he talked about those extremists, of course not the whole Muslims are lovely, but the extremist Muslim, they let their negative inner mind, sick ego, completely take over. So they as father, no more connected to their soul, there's no more spirit world, there's nothing can enter. So they take over and everything got twisted, the way that who's God, in the name of God, and everything is all twisted. Now I'm going to say a concept that would be, again, very hard to understand. When that happened, you know how after September 11, all of us humans got together?
Yes.
It's raised the vibration of the human psyche. I know it's very hard to accept, but sometimes that's what's happened. Tragedy and loss raise it up.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
sure.
what Margaret said shouldn't be lost. Yeah, I was in New York right after that happened. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct. Strangers were talking to each other. It was as if this big city became a small community, and we all have that in common. But as Margaret just said, it only lasted for a short while.
That's the unfortunate of what's going on in the world. That's why people are here trying to reach out as many as we can, because it's going to tip over to no good and we'll be no more human race. That's how important it is. But they're telling me right now to tell you that it's the same scale but much smaller as a loss in a family. Sometimes there is a loss in a family and there is a shift for the best. Now, for us, it's the end of the world. It is to lose someone.
Oh, yes.
But that happened in a bigger scale, because what's happened, you know, is that the whole world, not just U.S., the whole world, there was Muslim helping Jewish to get up. I mean, I don't know if you saw that. But,
oh, sure.
And then it's lifted up. The positivity lift up. Unfortunately, it did not last.
Yeah.
Not only that it did last, it's been forgotten.
And
there is no more. Where is September 11th? I feel obligated to watch the shows. When the shows come on, nothing would disturb me. I would not change the channel, and I would feel obligated to remember. Another thing hard to understand, that those souls knew that. So they volunteered to go. That's what I've been told. I know it's really hard. It's all by design of help the human race, which we're not doing a good job, lift up the positive energy. It's very, very bad, and it's going to no good. So going to be more tragedies, going to be more unfortunately, terror attack or natural disasters, and it just to wake us up, and we are not waking up.
And, you know, I mean, so the Archangel Michael and your team, as you call them,
yes. They
tell you we're going to have more tragedies and more disasters.
Yes,
because
unless we wake up, yes, we do.
Well, because
there's more and more hate, more and more evil.
Well, we're heathens.
Pardon?
We really are. We're a bunch of heathens.
We are
not just, you know, every country is. I mean, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's talking about the whole globe. He's not
talking
about the U.S. He's,
yes,
he's
no,
just
not
U.S., the reason it's happened, because it's so major, everyone looking up to us,
yeah.
And here it is. So that's awful. It didn't work. It just worked for a little bit, and then an ego of human mind, it's getting more and more control. Ego is an entity by itself. We have to be very careful of the ego. It's by design. It's so we come, if there was no ego, we'll come here and learn nothing. So ego is something that you have to be very careful. Most people are lost nowadays. They're completely into material things and completely into so far away from their soul that unfortunately, and then it's add up to the negative psyche. So things are just getting worse, and crime, and it's pretty sad the way the sorrow that the spirit world have for us right now.
But,
it really is.
But what's going to change it? I mean, the stories about in this country, not only here, obviously, I'm not picking on the United States,
but
here you're right, crime and greed. You watch the news and you see the terrible fighting in Iran.
Yeah.
You see threats from Iraq and from Iran and from North Korea and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a part of the world that isn't suffering someplace. And all throughout the centuries, if you look at history, it was always one religion fighting the other, and sometimes people within the same religion fighting each other.
Sure.
It's as if we have not progressed spiritually, or, as I've often said, maybe we've gone as far as we can spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is as far as we're able to go
as
humans. Is that possible?
No, they're telling me that we will grow. And you know what would tip it is positive. Positive is light, and they're always showing me when there is a dark room and you bring a tiny little candle and all of a sudden the dark is gone. So more light walkers, more talking. No, the spirit world did not give up on the human race yet. You know what was the hardest for me to accept, still is, especially coming from Israel?
What?
They're telling me that war won't resolve, war won't bring peace.
No, it never does.
No.
Never has.
Now, that's hard for me to accept, because I was in the army, and when there is a bomber and get in into a bus station and, you know, half of the people got wiped out, then the first reaction is you want to tolerate. They're teaching me to tell people to defend themselves, but not fight, not send war, not do, like, they're talking about peace and energy. And so it's very hard for me still to this day to accept. So if we translate it to maybe human language, maybe more of some sort of a negotiation rather than bombing back North Korea. So what they're saying is it's negative with negative, and it's just a snowball, and it will never end. You cannot resolve war with a war. That's what they're telling me. Again, it's kind of a hard concept for me to accept because I have family here and I care what's going to happen with Iran. And
sure, exactly.
Once they're telling me to transfer the world, all I am is just a messenger, and that's what I tell. War, even a relationship, war, fighting would not bring a resolution. What would bring a resolution is leave the house for a little bit, calm down, come back and talk. So really, again, it's a smaller scale. So, but when I ask them, well, if they attack us, no, we understand, you got to protect your youngster, protect, but don't attack. Don't attack back to get the peace. It is not going to work. So it's funny they chose me because it's very tough for me to accept. So everything I tell you, I don't go I go blindly behind them because I know what a wise being they are. But it's very hard concept for me, that more than anything else, really. But again, this is my job to transfer the world, and that's what I do. So
how many people do you see a week?
Mm-hmm, 5.
And when they come to you, do you usually give them readings from their loved ones or from the spirit guides? Who decides? When they come, they want to talk to their departed loved ones. Do sometimes the archangel talk to them, or do sometimes their loved ones talk to them?
Yeah.
Or do both of them come by through?
Yeah, those are the private reading that people come in, and then there's the phone.
Yeah.
There's extreme order in the spirit world. The archangel consider the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very wonderful for me to see when the archangel enter, everyone back off. Back off. So then the archangel come in, and then you have the guardian angels, because they're a little below the archangel, yet they are angel, and then the spirit guides, and then the family members. The way who choose who to talk is whoever have the most influential message, A. B, some spirits are simply not strong enough for me to hear them. So they're just, I don't know why, either they have a residue from the physical body yet, of course, if they end their own life, there's many reasons. But it's quite organized, and it's funny enough, my grandma is the one that kind of say, you go first. Very, I know it's bizarre, but she
the
does.
Your grandmother has passed?
Yeah, she's part of my team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she does. She's part of my team. She, of course, many years, she's very evolved soul. So she kind of help and kind of know somehow whoever have. But then the archangel would come first, and then the spirit guides. And so I always let it be, and they always like to take credit who's talking. The guardian angels always make sure that they're the one that help us with silly little things like finding parking space and watch over our driving and our well-being. And so they say, please tell them that this is us talking. And so it's quite orderly and quite fascinating. It's just lovely. And it's all done with love. I was telling Margaret the other day that if you find a medium that translates the messages with too much harshness or maybe inappropriate words, they're not translating the spirit world, because it's all love. I'm always amazed to see the extreme unconditional love. Of course, they see the whole picture, so even if we make bad decision in life, they know that this is why we're here, to fix that area in our life. So there's always love, always. I always have goosebumps in reading when I get their love coming across through me to the person that they're responsible for.
So there's an arrogant little medium I know in New Mexico. You know what I'm talking about, Julie.
Yes.
When he comes here, he'll say, and he's saying, he's sick of this, and you better do this. And he likes to, you know, almost like a little actor. I look at him, I roll my eyes, like, I'll be quiet. So is he a lower energy medium?
No, he let his power get in the way a little bit, because when you're connected in a reading, you cannot, they talk through me, and that's why I also say last time that if I'm lost with words in English, they would immediately come in and fill it up. So they would calm me down. So the whole experience of a reading is they kind of talk through me. So even if I want to, I don't think I can really be, it's a demeanor that I get. So it could be his translation. It could be just he just let his power. It could be that he mixed his own life with it, which is something you never, ever want to do. This is two separate things. So could be many ways. But I know that when I hear them, how unbelievably lovely they are. They each have their own demeanors, the archangel and the guardian. They're very playful, very loving, and it's just so lovely. That's why I want to tell people that they're not alone. They watch over them. And from little thing, if you can find your keys, they help you and within a reason, so you make sure you're still doing the growth. But it's fascinating.
I'm more interested in the big things, like when you get sick, you know, or like if people are sick. Like there's Jill has someone very close to him. She's very sick, and she's always in the angel world, always talking to the angels.
Oh.
Yes.
And I one time said to Jill, I have trouble with the angel thing. Remember that, Julie?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I never understand the angels. Do you know, even as a Catholic, and that should not be said by a Catholic schoolgirl, believe me.
Yeah.
Of all people, it shouldn't be.
Didn't they teach you, Margaret, that if you talk to the angel, you skip God? Wasn't there something like that on one of the religious? I know it's not Judaism.
No. We really were. I went to Catholic school, one of the best girls' Catholic school, I can tell you. And we were really never. It was really never defined who we were supposed to talk to. So I always went to the Virgin Mary and said, Mother, please go to my father. We call her Mother. I do. And then go to my father and ask him. I never dared pray to God. You just didn't. And you just didn't talk to him. You know, you just weren't. And so, and angels, I'm like, okay. You know, they were just pictures for us.
Now that's an interesting point. Now, the young lady Margaret is talking about that is here in my home. I mean, when I'm home, she lives in our home, and she has a very strong devotion to the angels and understands the archangel and the hierarchy of angels and has enough books about angels and statues of angels to fill a small museum. And she gets tremendous comfort from them, even though she is very, very ill with an incurable disease.
Yeah.
Now, are those angels helping her?
Of course. Angels are beings that were never incarnate. So they're just energy that the Creator have created to help him with the creation. So there's billions of them. There's one responsible for nature and all kind of different nations. And, you know, I mostly work with the four ones that I found to be the most influential on people's life, which is Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel.
Well, those are the archangels.
Those are the archangels.
There are more than just four. I was taught there were several.
Thousands of thousands. I just happened to walk with those four.
But aren't there only 12? How many archangels are there supposed to be?
Thousands.
The fallen angels, huh?
Oh, no. There are thousands, Margaret. With names.
Thousands of archangels?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I don't know. Well, in Catholic school, here's what we learned about angels. You know, they wanted to be as powerful as Christ, and they went with Satan, and then they got thrown down to the earth and, you know, whatever. And then, we learned all these crazy stuff. So for us, angels were pictures, you know. It's like, oh, look at the angels, you know.
Yeah.
And we had a guardian angel. I mean, every Catholic owns that same picture. They even have little lamps where that guardian angel in the wing is looking over a little kid. I mean, if you're a Catholic out there, you know what I'm talking about. Right, Julie?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we were just, you know, he's like Archangel, Michael, okay. They were just biblical names, truly. And I remember Jill and I talked about it one day, and I'm just like, we have no connection, no understanding of angels whatsoever. They're just a bunch of names to us.
No, they're
very... Well, that's a good question, though. Do you see the angels?
Do you sense them? It's hard for me to explain, but they each have, for example, Archangel Michael always appear serious. He always appear on guard. He always watched as he talked to me. He's an angel of war.
I mean, he's the guardian angel.
Yeah, he's a warrior. He's, of course, also the archangel of fears and changes. When we encounter changes in our life, Archangel Michael appear and kind of help us with transition. And Archangel Raphael is the most playful one.
We think of Gabriel, come blow your horns. He's like, hey, Gabriel's going to announce
oh,
the news.
Dear.
You
know
oh, dear.
Oh, Margaret,
no,
you were
no,
misled.
No, what I'm saying, it's not out of disrespect. It's all we were taught. So
yeah,
I said this bold once.
That's what I'm saying, how misled. Oh.
Yeah, and so that's why it's good you talk about them, because I don't get them. And I said to Julie once, I have no connection to angels. And then when I spoke to you last week, you said, Michael Arch is one of your archangels. And I'm like, why would he choose me? I hardly even know anything about angels.
Oh, you do, honey. You just, of course, again, forgot while you're here. You do. Angels, the only thing about angels as opposed to the spirit guides, they never incarnate. They were never lived in a physical body. They're just an energy being, of course, pure.
Oh, so they had never been here on Earth.
They had never been humans. So that's why we have the spirit guides attached to us that used to be humans, and they kind of know more how it is to feel in a physical body. So we do need both. That's why the team is mixed out of spirit guides and archangel and guardian angels. But the archangels are extremely powerful. Guardian angels, if it's not your time to go, they will intervene with life-saving measures. So that's how powerful our guardian, if it's not your time to go. If it is to go, then they would let that happen. But I've seen some amazing stories with guardian angels, how they really, and they never leave. They're always around us, no matter where we go.
At least that's guardian angels.
But now, Margaret has a problem trying to imagine that they really exist and that they really would be here. I, believe it or not, I'm a little more open to it, I guess. I don't know.
And I love the girl, the lovely friend we have. She sent me a good. People always give me Michael the Archangel, and I was talking to Mickey, and apparently he's not everybody's Archangel.
Everyone assigned Archangel. Everyone call on him anytime.
But he's my assigned one, right?
It is your assigned Archangel.
And I was blown away. I'm like, look at that. I mean, listen, I'm not knocking. I'm happy to have it, but I've been trying to, you know, talk to him the last few days, and I feel like I'm talking. I'm like, are you crazy, Margaret? You know,
you're not, honey.
But, you know, it's like for me to pray the Blessed Mother is natural. I believe she hears me. I believe she's there. So it's part of whatever, like when you talk to your team. It's as natural to me as breathing. Talking to the archangels is not natural.
Really?
Because I don't know.
And I can relate because I've been there 32 years before I talked to the. Even it was as simple as calling on him and trust that the answer was him. That's how it started for us. For me, I called on Archangel Michael and he replied.
Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Again, I don't mean to interrupt, but I really want to understand this. It's so important.
I want to know what archangels you have too, Joey.
What I have.
Do you have a problem, Joel? Because Raphael is assigned to you, which is the archangel of healing. So I don't know if over your life you had challenges with your health.
That's right.
Okay, so Archangel Raphael is assigned to you. Funny enough, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't want to.
No, that's all right.
Telling me. He's saying that your life lesson, this life, is learning through health issues.
Really?
That doesn't mean you're not, you well, you live long life, that doesn't mean anything, but I'm just saying that therefore he was assigned to you. He's, you know your friend that's not well, did you, over your life, did you experience that a lot?
Friends that aren't well, Joey, yeah, I think you have, haven't you?
Experience what people...
That people around you...
It's very strange. Yeah, Margaret is absolutely right. People who have had physical problems, emotional problems, all manner of health problems, for some reason, appear to be drawn to us, and I don't know why.
You've lost a lot of best friends.
Yeah, I have. I've lost a lot of friends very young.
I have an N near you that keep bothering me.
A what?
N or M.
Oh, you mean the letter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just saying there's a spirit NOM coming saying hi. So I don't know. I just kind of want to transfer that.
Well, I can tell you, Margaret was widowed several years ago. Her husband died,
yeah.
And as you probably know,
yeah.
And I lost my wife last year.
Okay. So there's a female.
Her maiden name began with the letter M.
Okay, so she's just saying hi, but Archangel Raphael is cutting in again, and he said that now that you know that your lesson in life is through health issues, learn from them. Meaning, you know your friend that's ready to cross, unfortunately, and learn from her spirituality. Learn from her. She's going to get more and more close to the spirit world. So kind of observe her, Joel. There's a reason why she's there, spiritually speaking.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
I do believe that.
That is by design, unfortunately. You know. I don't know.
Well,
how. I don't think she'll be here long, unfortunately.
But Joel has. Joel never doesn't like to be read, unlike me.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
No,
so he never has. And he was the reason that George Anderson and a lot of the famous medium,
yeah.
And you know Edgar Cayce, Hugh Lynn was my friend. Joel and I worked closely together over the years doing the spiritual world. Because and we left major network jobs and stuff to
yeah.
do this.
Yeah, we left our TV careers and radio careers behind.
Yeah.
To
well,
do
we
this.
But we kept them, and
we kept them, but we kind of didn't put them first, I guess.
We went to documentaries. Yeah, we went from like being news like on anchor women and stuff to doing documentaries about the spiritual world. So we've been working on the spiritual world for a long time.
Yeah.
So there isn't many people we haven't seen or known, but Joel in the spiritual world and otherwise. But Joel is the reason. They took books off the dark end of the shelf and put it in the public, and mediums became famous, and then we started doing documentaries. So, but he's never had a reading, but he was, George Anderson, the famous, he is the reason George Anderson is famous today.
Oh.
You don't mind me saying so, Julie?
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
I understand the medium stuff very easily. I took to that like a fish in water. I took to psychics, everything, much to my family dismay, who have never come around like yours. But even my children don't like it that I'm so whatever.
Yeah.
But the angel thing, it's funny, that you popped up because we didn't, but like 4 months ago, not even that long ago, we had a conversation on another radio show that I said, I just don't get the angels. And then here you go, knowing the angels. And several friends, if they give me an angel, it's always Michael the Archangel. I always think, well, okay, they would think I'm going to war or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh.
So,
he does
so
love
have...
you very much, Margaret. He wanted me to say that out loud, so here I do say that. You know, funny, I'm going to say that real quick for you two. You know you were brother and sister in some other life.
Oh, really?
Yes. Jonah, I can believe that.
That would make sense. We've often been told that we act toward each other as a brother and sister.
Okay. So
and we've known each other for over 20 years. So.
Okay. Now, don't know if I ask if it's last life, and I don't get, so... Some other life, meaning you are in a soul group. You are in a soul. You come to life to learn. So there is everything is pre-designed why you two are doing what you're doing. So just
really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, who could have told us? If no one could tell me we do this radio show, I'd be like, what? And Jolie doesn't usually have a co-host, and I don't do radio.
No.
I do documentaries and stuff. And we've been doing this, and we've huge. It's been a huge hit, thank you, dear God. But what I was going to ask you is, and we've never had a harsh word between us in all these years.
No.
And we think we're both hilarious. We can tell each other everything and anything. We never judge, and we die laughing at one another.
Oh, that's so lovely. I get lovely, lovely energy between you two. That's why I asked. And they say that they're in a soul group, and you were brother and sister in at least one life. So just
That would make sense.
Know.
Yeah,
I really believe that. I really can.
There's a question here from someone. They're saying, is Curtis there? In Blog Talk, they write questions on the chat room.
Yeah, it feels as a brother or a close friend to me.
To you?
To that Curtis.
Oh.
No. They're just saying it's Curtis there. Now I happen to know Curtis who passed away not long ago. Julie, isn't that a strange question?
Okay.
It is.
It just came up. It says, "Welcome to the chat room with Margaret and Joel on Blog Talk." and it says is Curtis there. Now, I think
really?
That's strange.
Okay, it's someone's brother or... Oh, Joel, I'm sorry, Joel. Your wife? I'm sorry, dear. She want me to... Do you not... Did you not say goodbye at the end? Why there is a regretful there?
Plenty of regret. Well, I was widowed twice. The first time, the letter N was it was in her name, and she was killed by a car. And then the second time was just last year, and she died in her sleep. And plenty of regret and plenty of
Okay,
because you didn't get to say goodbye. She went to sleep.
She went to sleep, and she never woke up.
She wasn't sick when she went to bed.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So,
she just didn't wake up. And she was young, and she had a heart attack and a stroke in her sleep, I guess.
Yeah. There is a little bit of regret of not saying proper goodbye. So.
You're so right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right.
I don't like to disrespect them if they want to say something. So. I can't interrupt people.
I say let it rip. Let them tell us anything they want.
I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the angels in general want me to tell people that they do not have wings.
They don't have wings?
They do not have wings.
I was going to ask you that.
I know. Then maybe that, I don't know why they want me to say that.
No, I had a question about that.
Because
really?
It's annoying to me because we think they're flying around. I like just like fairies aggravates me. I mean, because if you start putting wings on things, it makes them whimsical and silly. Do you know what I mean?
Margaret, this is not West Hollywood.
Well, you know,
this is not the gay pride parade in West Hollywood.
Parade or something.
I love the parade.
When you start putting wings on things as an adult,
listen,
this is a rough little world to exist in.
It sure is.
Silly things go on, and pretty soon you get cynical and tired.
Yeah.
And I'm the queen of that. And so
that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But when you it's like, you know, if you put a pair of wings on a blessed mother, and I'm going to be really irritated, you know?
They're saying that people, of course, over eon of years, human beings, they invented the soft white wings for comfort, and it is still comfort for a lot of people, so they say so be it. But of course those are energy beings, so there is no wings. But I asked them once if that's okay that they're winged. They said that's perfectly fine, so that's what it is. But it was important for them to say that we can imagine them any way they want. Some people imagine them white wings, some big, some small.
All right.
See them as huge. So it just what's soothing for us, and whatever soothing for us, that's all that matters to them.
And that's what's important, right?
It is. That's all what's important. They're there to guide us, support us, protect us, and anything, if we want to imagine them any way we can, this is
we call on them. Well, but that's the question about imagination. Actually, I have several questions.
Sure.
One of them is, I really don't want a reading, and I don't want to do a show about me, but what was unusual is that, again, coming from a very strict Jewish upbringing, some years ago in the 1980s, I had a vision. I don't mean a dream. I mean a vision. Of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And I was kneeling before Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And there's no... I swear to God, one thing I don't do about this subject, Margaret and I...
No, you don't lie.
We don't lie.
We do not lie.
We want answers. We don't want to lie.
No, I got
that. And
when
Joel says
quick.
He did, you did. When Mother Teresa did, too, she did. But then she got bitter because she didn't get another one. So did you get bitter when you didn't see him again? What did your vision say?
No, I didn't understand why I saw him. That's a good question. I didn't know why I saw him the first time.
Yeah.
And I've never had it happen again. It was so clear, and you could hear music coming from a beautiful beam of light that went way, way up that appeared to be in the clouds. I was kneeling before him. I had a very serious problem at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He answered me and told me what the future was going to be.
Oh.
And
you never
what
told
he,
me this.
I didn't tell you?
Mm.
Oh, sure.
If you are going after this show, I'm going to hear the whole story. After
the show. he told me exactly what was going to happen and what I had to do. And how I had to follow what he said, and I did exactly what he said, and I took that path. But here's the thing about the angels. while I was kneeling, it was as if I was watching myself on television.
Wow.
I saw myself kneel in front of Jesus. I had no
wow.
question who it was. In the background behind Jesus, I saw what I thought were angels. Now, I saw beings dressed in white with wings, but they had no faces. I don't know
what's
who that.
What is that?
I have no idea what
okay,
that means.
First of all, I'll touch Jesus because this is obviously a big thing. See, that's another thing about Christianity that you know you have to. Jesus was incredible guide.
Yes.
That's all he was. He came here to guide. He was actually, he still is a guide. He's guide and he's an evolved soul that came here to help. And he actually tried to preach spirituality and unfortunately he got killed. So Jesus, because I asked the team, who is Jesus? Does he exist? Of course he exists. Jesus is one of the ascended masters, like Muhammad, like Moses, like you know, this is just one of them.
Buddha.
Jesus is wonderful.
Buddha.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
So
no,
why would I see? But was I imagining those were angels?
You absolutely did not imagine. Absolutely did not.
They had
imagine.
No faces.
That's okay. They don't have faces. They're all energy.
The
white wings, again, this is the psyche of human that over the years we gave them white wings, so that's what it is.
Oh.
Your vision, you know what's funny, Joel, that
yeah.
vision was the your spirit visited the spirit world. I don't know what that means. Where was it?
Where was it
in the physical world? Where was it day, night?
It was at night.
Okay, because I didn't know what that means. Your soul has traveled, because that's what's happened at night, when finally
yes.
the ego sleeps, the soul
yes.
is able to go.
I don't sleep very well, but
no.
this was at night, and
I
imagine
so
it was after falling asleep.
To the spirit world, and Jesus
was
there.
It was not
there.
A dream.
No.
So Mickey
says
you went to the spirit world, and what happened, Mickey?
Yeah.
He went to the, and saw Jesus. Jesus is an ascended master. You call on him as if you call on any other guide, as any Jesus helping guide, helping humans, helping individual, helping nature, and the
okay.
angels was there.
Let me ask
were
you,
there.
Since we're talking about Jesus, I got to go here. Is there a hell? Is there a Satan?
The hell, the only thing they tell me about hell is what we create. If we create hell to ourselves and others, we cross over to the lowest level, which is quite nasty.
Is there a Lucifer, a fallen angel called Lucifer?
No. There's no certain devil. There's no certain devil. The hell was created by us. They actually showed me visions, I know it sounds awful, of murderers. When
huh?
they cross over,
ooh.
They become soul again. I know it's hard to accept, but they realize what they did, and they confine themselves to a place like hell. So there is no God. Again, it's the program that God did. Once you cross over, depend what you did in this life, and that's bringing me to my point to be good in this life, meaning don't judge, don't harm others, stay humble, don't let power of money or ego coming away.
Ten
because then
right?
for certain
yes.
you reserve
yes.
a great spot in the spirit world. They actually call it. So the higher you are here, when you cross over, the higher you are there. So there are pretty nasty levels down there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There are pretty nasty
remaining.
Levels.
1 minute remaining. How do you want to close this? I'm going to let you close this. You two close it.
Can they ever take the form of human beings?
Angels?
Yes.
Yes, they can take any form they like. If you prefer see them as whatever, someone that you admire or like, they will do that.
Okay.
But then certainly they can form anything you like. So are the guides.
And so can the guides.
Well, like Joel, Clarence, and It's a Wonderful Life. They
yes,
they
yeah, that's
appear,
what
right?
I was thinking about. Well, how do people reach you, Mickey?
And my website is my name, so the www.mickijacobs.com.
And Mickey will be joining us on margaretwent.com or spiritualtruthradio.com or Joel Martin Radio. If you look at Joel Martin Radio, you'll get to our Spiritual Truth show. So Mickey will be joining us, Joel, on our site.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So people can reach Mickey and they
That's
can
That's wonderful.
Talking.
I've learned a really lot. And,
oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, and Edgar Cayce was, by the way, a very humble individual. We didn't say that before. He never lived to make a lot of money, and he never did have a lot of money. He was a,
didn't care.
No.
Didn't care.
He
no,
was there
he didn't.
For a gift. He did his gift. He didn't
yes.
do it. He didn't do an act. He didn't do a Vegas act like a few names I can name.
No.
Oops,
no.
There's karma for me. But you know, but
yeah.
that's what I'm here to do. But I, yeah, that's why Mickey's going to be joining us, because she has this nice, calming, soft voice.
She
and
sure
we're
does.
Out of here, everybody. We are off. We'll still. We people come in tomorrow. They can still hear us. Hi, everybody. We are no longer streaming live. But if they want to listen to this show, I'm going to say good night, and hopefully, Mickey, you can join us again.
Please.
Definitely, I would love to.
I would love to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay.
And Block Talk again next Wednesday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and, of course, on our other website as well.
Yes. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Mickey. Good night, Joe.